Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Isaiah. I'm reading from the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of our Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet. And with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say this to the people." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a great passage, isn't it? Y'all got it all figured out already. All I got to do is duck when God asks who will go for us, and everything turns out well in your life, right? Just don't say yes, I will. Now, that is really not the lesson this morning. What we should be taking forth from this beautiful passage that talks of our relationship with God. It shows in many times in the Revised Common Lectionary, as many as 9 times you could preach on this in the year, and I think that possibly you could do that. Someone better at it than I could probably do that and do it more times than that and still make it a great learning experience. It tells us much about what our relationship with God is supposed to be like, and who we as individuals and collectively as the body of Christ are supposed to be. Now, the book of Isaiah scans many years. These beginning chapters talk of the period of when the king of Judah, Uzziah, died. Scholars place this right around 740 AD or so, about 160 years after the reign of Solomon. The kingdom has been divided. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah had each gone their own ways and are now actually in war with one another, or about to be in war with one another. For Israel has made, the northern kingdom of Israel, has made a pact with the king of Syria, who is one of the more powerful countries in this part of the world. And they were advancing together toward Judah, the southern kingdom, the kingdom where Isaiah was prophesying. This would perhaps change the whole power structure in the entire Middle East. And if this sounds very, very local news, guess what? They've been in the local news for centuries and really millennium. Now, at this time, Uzziah has passed away, and his son, Ahaz, or his grandson, Ahaz, has come to begin his reign, and he is faced with this large problem. Judah alone is, by all human measures, not nearly powerful enough to conquer the combined forces of Israel and Syria. Something must be done. This young man, who truly is a young man, looks to the Assyrians, another nation that is very powerful, and says, "I should make a pact with them that if they will come and fight with us, then we will have to be underneath them and they will be over us. But it's better than getting wiped out by someone else." This is what the prophet Isaiah is talking about. This is what God is talking about, because what Isaiah is telling him is, or will go and tell him, is that you need only trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Don't make pacts with other people that will destroy the people down the line, the people of Judah, the people of God. Do this. This is what this all centers around here, is making this decision, or at least at this point, making this decision on what you do when trouble is coming. And what I'm going to ask of you this day is to take a little journey with me. There's three different points that I want to make today in this sermon. They are things that I kind of flushed through all week trying to figure out, and what does this really mean for us right here today in this specific time. I hate a three-point sermon. It sounds so Baptist, but that's what God gave me. So kind of as a point for all of this sermon that we will talk about here is listen to God a little bit. And the first point I would say, what God is calling for us to do is to be open. Be open for God's call on your life. And practice listening to God. It's easy to say that I am open for God's call. God obviously called me to Hamden, Sydney, whether to be professor or someone from the who works here on the campus, or whether you are someone here taking classes, or whether you are here as a family hoping desperately that your son will actually graduate on time and it all be good. We are still here as Christians in this place and time. And we are to answer the question that Isaiah answers when God asks, who will go for us? Who will go for us? The Lord asks, and Isaiah says, I will go. We have supposedly all said that. I mean, we are here. If you are seeking still, raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. We'll talk later and see if we can't hit you on down that line to do that. But most of us have already, bless you, all of us have already made this decision to be people of God, the Christians. And as a Christian, it is on our to-do list. It's what we're supposed to do, is to listen to God and do what God is asking. Who will go for us, God says. Isaiah listens and says, I will. That is the answer that we should all give when God asks us to be Christians. Every single day of our life, we must listen for God's call to us. Not just the guy in the weird robe standing up here, although we do kind of make it happen more, and especially in these days and times in the United States of America. We really, no, that's your problem, Pastor. You need to find out what we're supposed to be doing. And by the way, we have honed it down so well that we expect the pastor to do it all. So we don't have to do anything except make sure the pastor got it right and go home and watch golf. That is what Christianity has kind of come to in the country today, because we do not take on this understanding that we should be saying, here I am, I will go. At least, maybe we do it on Sunday morning. Okay, at least 2.5 Sundays a month or something like that on average. But we're not used to saying, God, what am I supposed to do today? We don't listen for God speaking to us. Scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When was the last time you allowed God to lead you to the still waters? Or did you first go online to VRBO and see if you could find that place that was beside the still waters? Do we go along trying to figure it all out for ourselves time and time again and only go talk to God when everything has fallen completely apart? Do we take time to listen to God? God says, "Whom shall I send?" And we generally say, "Anybody but me." Anybody else you can send, I'm good. Now I know that you haven't actually said that to yourself. If you did, you probably chuckled where you were. But unfortunately, that's how we take this. And this is not, we are missing out on a relationship with God because we want to be in control of our lives. This very day, God is saying to you, "Whom shall I send?" And each day, each hour, each minute of the day, we need to answer that question. Am I really listening to God for where I should be going? How I should be sent? Or have we mapped out our lives so well that we don't need God to tell us that? I do. And this is not me because that's what I do for a living. It's because that's what makes living worthwhile. Speaking with God and listening to God, it can be maddening sometimes. But it is the way that we have a great relationship with God. That first point is that we have to listen for God's calling on our lives, not just once or twice or sometimes, but all the time. The second point is to trust God exclusively. Sometimes we have decisions to make, whether they are big or small or whatever, and we'll ask everybody else in the world what we ought to do. All the experts, we will consult, we'll Google it till death do his part. You know, we'll do everything trying to find out, to work our way through it, and that's all fine and good. But if you do not stop and ask God, you could get absolutely the wrong answer. That doesn't mean God will jettison you off and make you go away forever, but you would be missing out on the right thing, the perfect thing that God has made for you. Ahaz listened to Isaiah's plea to trust God and not make an alliance with the Assyrians because it was the sensible thing to do. They had horses and chariots and arms and they could all go to work. What am I supposed to do sitting here? Nope, I'm going to follow my well thought out and what my advisors tell me to do. I am not going to listen to God. I won't go there. Too often, we do the exact same thing. We refuse to listen to God and we work on our own brilliance to go through life. We do that all the time. And we have done over the last years. And I'm going to pick on my own church today, not College Presbyterian Church, but the PCUSA. They became the PCUSA way back in 83 when the Northern and Southern and everybody got to be Presbyterians again. And a path that both had gone down separately has now gotten doubled up on when we all got together. We got very corporate. Just like everybody else in this country, all the churches, everyone, we got corporate. It's what you did in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s is you worked by the corporate structure. And we have structured ourselves so corporately that now there are huge divides in people, not just about things about sexuality and other things, But the difference between people who live in rural areas and those who live in urban areas and what they expect in a church and what's going to happen and how that goes, there is a split in the PCUSA that is as wide as there is in this country between people who are Republicans and people who are Democrats and people who are all fed up because they're just tired of both of them. Trying to do the right thing, trying to be smart and get things done, we have put something in place that doesn't work. And people flee the church. That is something that's happened to the Methodists, to the Catholics, not as much to the Baptists, because they really never did get together. You know, there's the Episcopalians, everybody has done this corporate thing. And we all bought into it because honestly, no offense guys, but pretty much everybody there thinks everything should be done by the guy that's here, me. And that's not the way God planned it. Each of us is to ask and answer the question God asked to Isaiah. Who will go for us? Not just me. It's everybody. We're all supposed to be going to be with God every day, carrying God's message out into the world, helping people understand and see Christianity in its best light. People active and doing, not just on Sundays and occasionally, but every day. We have to think, all of us, of going to God constantly, day in and day out. It is the only way we can live the life that God wants us to live. We should not go by just the thing that seems right. Because every time we do, it ends up seeming very wrong. The final point I would say this morning, you like that word final, I know, that makes you all happy that we're about to be done, is that you can never, ever, ever get complacent about working on your relationship with God. Perhaps now you are old like me, past retirement age a bit, I should have it all down, right? I should be able to go on and it'll be fine. You don't have to tell me what to do all the time, I'm good. That's the most dangerous trap of all. We stop asking God. We don't need God anymore. We've been there, and it happens very slowly. We begin to plan our day around us. We plan our life around us. We don't even ask God anymore. That's the important part of this. Never get complacent. Perhaps you have, as a young person, been good about that or are getting better than that or have worked at it through parts of your adult life. But it has to be all the time. Not on Sunday mornings. Not at Easter and Christmas. Not just then. It's always. And complacency, the ease of life that we have, gets us into trouble. It's difficult. Now, it's easy for us to sit here as adults and say, this is really for you young people as you're going to live your life. You'll figure it out as you go along. You'll get better at it. It'll be good. That is all true. But too often, as we get nice and comfy, just where we are, we forget to even ask the question, who am I going for? Am I waking up today to go somewhere for God? Or am I doing it all because it's what I want to do and it makes life easy? I would urge you, I would beg you to listen. listen for God's call on your life each and every moment of each and every day. To keep going to God, asking the question, what am I supposed to do here? Where shall you send me today? What are you going to ask of me today? I'm here to listen. And if that happens and you hear nothing back, count your lucky stars and thank and wait and listen and keep listening until God makes it clear to you what you should do next. It is important. I would say what we do too often is we find someone that we marry because we have deep feelings for them, and it's a great thing to do, and you can't wait to spend your life with them. And as time goes by, you take it for granted. And you get further and further away from each other. Until, you know, it's a comfortable life. We're okay. Don't do that with God. God wants the very perfect life for you. And the perfect life for everyone around you. But you have to listen. You have to continually listen. And answer, yes, I will go for you. I hope and pray that each of us will do that every single day. Thanks be to God. Amen.